Well, we've been going through the various fruits of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and so far we've looked at gentleness, this one, and patience. Last week we did joy, and this week I'd like to look with you at this one. What is that? Goodness. I'd like to look at this question. Is God happy? Is he pleased when he looks at you and the goodness that is in you? Or is he upset? Is he irritated? Is he angry? Is he just bearing with you very patiently, but kind of upset at you because of the goodness in you? How does God see you with respect to goodness? And how should you see yourself? Should you be upset or joyful? Let's take a look at that and see what God would teach us by his word. Now, first of all, if we think about goodness, should we go to the world, do you think, to get their definition of goodness and see if they can give us a little tip on that? The world is the opposite of God with respect to goodness. They have no idea what they're talking about. So let's just throw them in the trash right away in terms of their thoughts. Now, if you look at abortion, for example, what is that? 60 million have been slaughtered since 1973. Does the world call that good or evil? It's good, according to the world. It's America. It's free rights. It's the rights of the women. The killing of children. Does God call that good? God calls it evil. You shall not take another person's life. When you look at sex and marriage and things like that, being together with someone outside of marriage, is that good or evil in God's sight, if it's consenting? It's good in the world's eyes, but not so in God's, because those who do such things shall not inherit my kingdom. If you look at, rock bands, remember, maybe some of you know these songs from yesteryear, Highway to Hell, and Imagine There's No Heaven, remember those songs? Does God like those? The world calls them good, flocks to them, pay big, big bucks to go and watch that. World says, that's good. God says, no, evil again. And then you can go to religion, and the world will say, let's affirm every direction. They're all leading to God. Are all just streams going to the ocean. Every way is valid, a way to God. The only people to watch out for, says the world, are those who say that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Yes, let's persecute and cast them out, but all ways lead to God. They should be affirmed, except for that Christian one. Is that good or evil?
Evil.
To the world, it's good. To God, it's evil. So my point is, if we're going to talk about goodness today and the fruit of God's Spirit, let's not even entertain for a second what the world's talking about. They're the opposite of what God talks about. In fact, God talks about the world in this way in Isaiah, in the Old Testament. He says this, verse 20 and following, he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says yes, they say no. God says no, they say yes. It's the opposite in the world. So throw all that out. And when the world says of man, we're all good. You know what you really need to do is just meditate. Get down to that deep inner self, you know, that soft, cuddly coo, that little inner you is really just so good. And, you know, just get in touch with your inner self. God is so pleased with that. Is that true? Should we believe in that? What's God say about man, whether he's angry or happy with man as he's naturally born from his mom, that is apart from God and his work in him? Well, let's open up the Bible. Let's see what God tells us in his book. This is his book. Amen?
Amen.
David says in Psalm 51, he says, verse 5, he says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, Jeff, were we born good from our moms? Sinful nature, says David. We read over here in Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament, not only were we born with a sinful nature, But in verse 12, as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. So according to God, were we good or bad before he came into our lives? Evil. Namely, we'd all sinned. Anybody not sinned in their lives? Raise your hand if you'd have never sinned. You'd be guilty of lying, in which case you'd be a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good, says Solomon, and never sins. Jesus spoke to his brothers. He says, the world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Jesus says in John 3 that you must be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Just as you're naturally born, you're not going to get there because you're not good, but evil, according to God. You're sinners. And Jesus says in Mark 10, who is good but God alone? So not man, but God's good. So if you think about God and how he thinks of man as he is apart from God, naturally born, is man good or evil? According to God, evil, that we have sin, that we've all sinned, and therefore, what is God, how does he feel? Happy or angry? You guys are doing great. Disappointed, yes, absolutely. And angry at sin. Now, why is God angry at sin, do you think? Think he's a big grouch up there in heaven? He just can't wait to be upset at people? No, don't point at Ernie. Come on, man. Why is God angry at evil? Answer, because he is good. Because he's good. If you're going to be good, you got to be angry at evil. Because the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. If you're good, you're going to hate what's wrong and what's bad. And when God looks down on the earth and he sees people doing wrong, hating each other, telling lies, committing adultery, living in greed, having so much violence, betraying one another, having unfaithfulness, worshiping demons in every false way, is God, who is good, going to sit there and say, oh, I'm so happy and pleased with that? Because he's good, he's very furious at the evil, and he actually will judge it and one day eradicate it even. We read there in Isaiah 2, it says, the Lord of hosts has a day against all that's proud and lofty, against all that's high and lifted up. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the pride of man shall be brought low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall utterly pass away. Men shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord, from the glory of his majesty, when he rises to terrify the earth. So if he's good, is he going to come in with a white hat and get rid of all the, you know, the black hat bad guys in the town? He's coming to Dodge. He's going to clean up the town and make things right again. So he's so good. How good is he? Do you think you could go and just see him as you naturally are right now with your own eyes? Moses wanted to do that, remember, in Exodus 33, verse 18 and following. He says to God, verse 18, Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness. Say goodness. I will make all my goodness. Notice the word glory and goodness go together. All my goodness, all of its resplendent, bright, shining glory shall pass before you, Moses. And I'll proclaim the name of the my name, the Lord, or Yahweh, etc. But he said, you can't see my face, for a man shall not see me and live. In other words, Moses says, show me your glory. God says, I'll show it to you, but only a certain way, just my backside. Because if you see all my glory, all my goodness, you just couldn't take it. You'd be dead, right? You couldn't take it. So how good is our God? He is so perfectly good. Jesus says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He is so good, so good. And how good is he? Let's think about the tasting the goodness of God. You know, when he made the creation in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God made the seas and and then made the dry land appear. And God saw that all that he made. And Harper, what did he say? Behold, it is good. Excellent. And God made the sun and the moon and the stars and said, behold, it is good. And the fishes in the sea and the creatures of the land. And at last he made man. And he said, behold, it is very good. Very good. He made a beautiful world. And even when man sinned and became evil after being good, how did God deal with us? And how does he deal with the people today? Is he good? He is so patient. He is so long-suffering. He is so merciful. He doesn't want to destroy anyone. He wants them to come, and he gives people the call, come and be saved. Jesus says, your Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. There's nobody, even evil, that God doesn't shower goodness upon in this world. Even, you know, hey, over there in the mafia, and I got my family, you better not cross me. Even them, God gives a house to, gives them food on their plates and family, even though they rail against him and do evil. Paul says, God gives to all men life and breath and everything. That's good. God also says in Malachi, I, the Lord, don't change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. In other words, I could destroy you for your sins, but because I'm good, I don't want to. So I'm not consuming you because I'm wanting to save you. God made from one nation every man on the face of all the earth, etc., in the hopes that they should seek God, that they might feel after him and find him. So God, he, in his heart, if you want to know his heart, he says, I want everybody to come to me because I'll take care of your sins. I will remove them. I want you saved. I don't want you destroyed. I am so good. Do you taste the goodness of God today? How good has God been to us? When he was angry with us on account of our sin and evil, what did he do? He looked down on you with love. Even so, we read this in Titus. It says, you know, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various sinful passions and pleasures. And we were passing our days in anger and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the, who knows it? Goodness of God. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness. In other words, not because we were good, we were evil, but in virtue of his own mercy, his own goodness, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. So, Susie, all right, ready? How did God save us? By what? By his goodness. His goodness saves us. His goodness, which has now come into full view. His goodness that's come in the face of Jesus Christ. Because Peter proclaimed of Jesus, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest. And he appointed us as witnesses, and this is what they were to bear witness to. That to him, everyone who believes in him should receive the forgiveness of sins through his name. In other words, free forgiveness and salvation to all who would come to him and to believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, this rock, his way is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Amen? Amen? Do you rejoice in the greatness of God today? The goodness that he's shown to you? So now let's get to this question. When God looks at you, is he angry? Or is he joyful and pleased with what he sees when it comes to goodness? You know, here's where a lot of Christians go wrong. We don't have joy because we think, you know, yeah, okay, God saved me, but there's nothing good in me. I'm just a piece of garbage that God has chosen to delight in and save. And therefore, I'm saved, but I have no joy because there's nothing good about me. Is that true? When God's goodness came to save you, what did he do? We read this in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 17 this time, a famous verse I used often. If because of Adam's one man's trespass, Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of gift of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. In other words, when God looks at you, Beth, when God looks at you, does he see goodness? What goodness does he see? The free gift of righteousness covering you. In other words, God has covered you with his own goodness. And he delights in that. We can have great joy in that. When I went to see Alice Hoag this week, we got her birthday, 100th birthday coming up in another couple of weeks. She was saying, I'm cold. She was cold because she's getting old and very frail. She's not eating much now. I'm cold. So what did I do? I got a blanket off the edge of her bed. I said, can I cover you with this, Alice? So I took out the blanket and wrapped it around her and covered her all up. And she was all cozied up like this. And she says, ah, now I feel good. Now I am happy. That's what she said. Why is that? Because she's covered with the blanket. Do you know that God says this in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 61. He says, well, we say this, I will have great joy in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Does God have joy when he looks at you, Dick? When he looks at you, does he see goodness? He sees perfect goodness, Christ's righteousness, the free gift covering you. Do you know that God has great joy in you? Do you think that would be a real bummer for God to see that he has great joy in you and you go around still feeling miserable because you see nothing good about you? He covers you with the robe of his righteousness. In that you can rejoice and have great joy. But is that all? Is God just cover you with his righteousness, and that's good, of course, that's perfect, it saves us, but then you're still just a piece of garbage and trash. You know, a lot of Christians lose their joy once again. They're like, okay, I'm covered with Christ's righteousness, but I'm still, there's nothing good in me to rejoice in. I am just, there's nothing good. Trash. You ever feel like that? A lot of Christians feel like that. You know, a lot of Christians have that hallmark, especially Lutherans, saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, blah, blah, blah. I, a poor, miserable sinner, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. That's all I'll ever be, is a poor, miserable sinner. Saved, yes, but poor and miserable and wretched. Is that true, actually? Has God not done actually something even better with goodness? I mean, more, I should say. Not only covers you with goodness, his righteousness in Christ, and saves you, but he's put good inside of you. We read this in Romans chapter 3. I'll turn back a page here. Paul says this of us to start out. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've gone wrong. No one does good. Not even one. There's nothing good in my flesh, he says in Romans 7. But you know what? It's really strange. Same letter, writing to the same people, same author, in Romans 15, says this in verse 14. He says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. In other words, in the same letter, he says, no one's good. And at the end, he says, you are full of goodness. Can you say, I am full of goodness? Sounds strange to you on your lips? You poor, miserable wretches. You are full of goodness, says Paul. Why? Because God, the good God, has not only covered you, but he's given you inside of you something good, which Peter calls, you are partakers of the divine nature. John, in his letter, says, no one born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in him. And he cannot sin. Let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 7. Because I want you to be happy. I want you to be joyful. when you leave here today. Romans chapter 7, Paul says this, verse 18. Let's see if we can distinguish where the goodness is, okay? He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me," says Paul, "that is, in my flesh. I can will what's right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I don't want is what I do. Now, if I do what I don't want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me." You get the distinction there? Is there nothing good in you? Yes, in your flesh, in your body, in the sinful passions that are still at work inside of our bodies. But in your spirit, right, Michael? Right. You're born again. There's a new heart given to you. There's something good. You are actually good. I myself, Paul says, am one person. The sin in me, that's another person. That sin in me is evil. But I, born again, am good. God is not finished just covering you with righteousness. He is working a new birth and a new nature. It's called the new nature in the Bible inside of you. Do you think you could actually rejoice in that? What if you say this, though? Well, but I'm not good enough, right? Jeff, we always say that kind of thing, right? What if I'm not good enough? Because God can't be pleased with me till I'm perfect. Really? Is that true? You know, in your spirit, you are actually born again perfect, but you're still growing in goodness. We're supposed to grow in this. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? When you get fruit, do you expect a whole cluster of grapes on the vine like this to start out? You get first the bud, then it grows up a little more, and then you get a whole cluster of grapes. Goodness is growing in you. But is God angry with you? That's my point. Is he upset at you because you're wrestling with sin? Oh, no, he loves that. He loves that. He's not angry at that because he says, fight the good fight. What kind of fight? The good fight. Wage the good warfare. God knows that when he birthed you again in Jesus Christ through the Spirit, he didn't remove the sin in your flesh, but he gave you a new spirit. That doesn't mean he's angry at you because he left sin in your flesh. If that were the case, he wouldn't like anybody. I mean, Paul had sin in his flesh. He just told us that. James and John and Peter and myself and you, God wouldn't like anybody. He'd be a big grouch, or at least it seems so. But he's not upset about that. He's happy that you're having a tough time because you're fighting against the sin in your flesh. And he's happy to see you grow up in that. Do you know how he has joy over you at every stage of your growth in goodness? You know, when Naomi was born, okay, when she was born and she came out of the womb on that beautiful day, March 24th, 2000, then I give her the keys to my car. Here, Naomi, drive my car. And if you don't do it right now, I'm so upset at you. No, I expect her not to drive the car for a while, a long while. I rejoiced that she opened her eyes. That was beautiful. I rejoiced in her first bite of food. I rejoiced in her first steps, her first riding on a bike. And eventually, down the line, she did get the keys to the car. I rejoiced in that. And I rejoice she's still growing up into a beautiful young lady. My point is, God is so excited about you. Covering you with righteousness, he sees that, he has joy in that. He put righteousness in you, which is Christ living in you, the goodness and your new spirit. And he's patient with you as you grow up. And do you know what? You are actually full of goodness. Really? No, I beat up by myself all the time. I'm a horrible person. Wait. Who? Horses, rein them in. Think about this. Let me point out some good that's inside of you. First thing I see good inside of you is you acknowledge that there's nothing good in you, in your flesh. That's the first thing you ever say before God, that he's like, amen, that's fantastic. You're now agreeing with me. And if you agree with God, that's good. Yes, there's no good in your flesh. That's actually a great statement. And you repent. That's good. Secondly, you confess and acknowledge Jesus, God's Son, has come in the flesh to be your Savior, and he is your Savior, crucified and raised from the dead. God says, that's even better, super good. I rejoice in that. That's good in you. How about this? You now love God's word. You agree with this word. You believe his word. That's good because you're agreeing with God, who is good. That's a new mind. If you ever sin, what do? You repent. And if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a good thing. That when you sin, you come to him and he cleanses you once again faithfully, beautifully. And then you not only believe in good and have all these things, but you do good to each other. And this is what we're supposed to grow in today, the fruit of the Spirit. The word there for this word in the Greek in Galatians 5:22 is agathosune, which doesn't just mean uprightness of heart, it's active good. It's good with feet on. It's good that runs after reaching out your hand actively to help somebody. It's an ear that will listen to somebody who needs to be listened to. It's a mouth that confesses Christ's name. It's you guys helping out at the food bank or visiting each other or cards or just tending your family or being honest in your businesses or whatever you're doing. But my point is God has joy in your growth. Until you get the keys to the car one day and get up bigger and bigger, he's joying in you all the way. So if God's happy in heaven, and you're all totally dissing on yourself down here on earth, ticked off that you're just a big piece of garbage. Do you see a dead monkey on the line here somewhere? Something's wrong. Get in line with God. He has joy in the goodness that covers you, like that beautiful Afghan over Harper there, looking good. Christ's righteousness, he has joy in the good that he's put inside of you. He has joy that goodness is growing in you. He has joy that you're doing good in your life and growing in it. He's patient until one day he's going to make you look like Christ. And the way we grow in this goodness is just being friends with God through the gospel, keeping your eyes on him. He shows you, oh man, what's good. And what does the Lord require of you? But just this, he says, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Just walk with me through life. You don't have to go climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Walk with me, God says, in friendship, through the gospel, that you're loved and we're friends through Christ. And as you look at me and we walk together, you beholding me with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, I am personally changing you from one degree of glory into another, into my likeness. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, working goodness, making you like himself, sons of the Most High God. And so my point then, in conclusion, is don't let the sin that's still in your flesh rob you of your joy in God. He has joy in you, and you're growing up in him into the day of the fullness of joy, where God will finish the job and remove the sin from our flesh. For we are God's children now, says John. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Therefore, we'll be perfectly good on that day forever. So I'll conclude with this word. Psalm 27, this is David. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. I believe that we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' name.